You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production. The Breakfast Show, better than coffee.
The Breakfast Show is brought to you thanks to Imquinto 24. You publish it, you'll sell it. Yes, indeed. Very good morning, boys and girls. Yes, you turn us on and you'll hear it. That's The Breakfast Show with me, Jerry D, here on 89.3 Cool FM. Lovely to be with you. It is Tuesday. It is the 24th of May. Time of just 1 minute. That's after the hour of 6 o'clock. I'm going to be sitting here chatting with you, going right through until, well, 10 o'clock, I guess. I'll just have to see how we go. Anyway, let's take a look at some of the things relevant to today's date in the world of entertainment. If we go back to the year 1956, it was on this day that the first Eurovision Song Contest is held. This was in Lugano in Switzerland. Peter Green, he quit Fleetwood Mac on this day. And the last Dean Martin show, no, I'm supposed to be the only ones that remember those, 1974, the last Dean Martin show was seen, that was on NBC. The show had been aired for, well, it had been on the air for 9 years.
Good morning, world.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun.
Good morning.
Good morning in the morning.
Good morning.
Buenos días en la mañana.
Transmission was stopped in 5 seconds from now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
hit. The best place to be in the mornings.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D. Jerry D.
Now got some mixy love on his jacket. Ain't it his head now? You remember him? You
just go ahead now. And if you like to tell me, maybe just go ahead now. And if you wonder about me flowers, just go ahead now. And if you like to talk for hours, just go ahead now. And if you want to call me, baby, just go ahead now. And if you like to tell me, maybe just go ahead now. And if you like to buy me flowers, just go ahead now. And if you like to talk for hours, just go ahead.
Two Princes. Yeah, there was a lot of royalty on this show. Two Princes there. That's from the Spin Doctors going back to 1993 was when that was released. Came off of their album. A good album called Pocket Full of Kryptonite. Superman probably didn't think it was too good. It was the second single off of the album. It got to number 7 on the Billboard Hot 100. And outside of the US, it topped the charts in Iceland and Sweden as well. And peaked within the top 10 in charts in Australia, Canada, Germany and Netherlands. And the United Kingdom, it didn't do too bad. It got in there somewhere. Time on the Breakfast Show. We're just making our way to 8 minutes after 6 o'clock.
Give me everything I need.
thank you very much. Very nice of you to say so. There she goes. Yes, Tina Turner there. And the best here on this morning's breakfast show. We're just just after 12 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock. Got a special guest joining me a bit later on. And, well, linking up with me a bit later on this morning. Tell you all about that a little bit later on. Great music, of course, going right through until 10 o'clock this morning. Appleton, and that is called Everything Eventually. Perhaps you could also say everything comes to anybody who waits. There we go. Well, that's apparently what they say. We've been waiting a long time, haven't we? Time on the breakfast show. It is time. Let me make sure we got this. Yes, it's time to do this. Get you in the shower and on your way to wherever it is you're going on this Tuesday morning, 24th of May. And we're whipping through it. Soon be June, and that's summertime, isn't it? Well, not here, winter time here. What about the weather? What can I say? Rained all night as well. In the shower with you this morning, got Sunset People from Donna Summer.
Sweet, sweet time.
There we go. Sunset People from Donna Summer in the shower with you this morning. And, well, that's it. Time to get you out and on your way. Come on. There we go. To wherever it is you're going on this Tuesday morning. And coming in. Well, not coming in. We're going to be chatting on Zoom this morning. We're going to be talking with Dr. Stanley Heckerdon Moreno. Now, he's released some new books. We'll be talking about those and also talk about him. He is... they sent me a... Because we've had the good fortune, you know, a few times in the past to talk to Dr. Stanley Heckerdon Moreno. And I tell you what, I'm just because they sent me... I love this. They sent me, it says, the short version of his biography. It's longer than a book, and that's the short version. What a privilege it's going to be having him on our program with us this morning. That's Dr. Stanley Heckerdon Moreno. He's going to be talking to us later on this morning. So he's got some books that he's got out. We're going to be talking about those. If we can slot in a couple of other things as well with him, we will do as well. So that's coming up on this morning program. That's in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll be checking in with Ingrid. Of course, with Yasmin too. Great music, of course, going right through till 10 o'clock this morning. Here on The Breakfast Show, 89.3 Call FM. This is Planet Funk. Catch the sun, if you can find it. Flying away, catch the sun, and that is Planet Funk on this morning's breakfast show. And if you want to know what the weather's doing, because the blinds are up here in the studio, so that means Well, it's a bit early for the sun anyway. It's very cloudy out there this morning, as I said, during the night, because we do have the window open. We start, like, don't have the air conditioning on anymore. That's just how much the weather's changed, I guess. But most of the night it was pouring, thunderstorms, all sorts of things. Kept waking me up. What has happened to the weather? I mean, I certainly don't feel this is usual, and having been here for, quite a good few years, I remember, you know, used to, after the summer, we used to have sort of like sunshine in the morning for a while, and it would rain at lunchtime, and then it would be nice in the afternoon again, and then you'd work your way through to the year, and you knew when you got to October and November, you got weather like this. This is October and November weather, I tell you. George and everything I own here on this morning's breakfast show. We are just down at the bottom of the hour.
You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production.
The Breakfast Show is brought to you thanks to Inventa 24. You publish it, you'll sell it.
¿Qué tal, Javier? Ahí vi que estabas vendiendo tu carro.
Sí, mira que ya se vendió.
¡Wow! ¡Qué rápido! Yo te lo quería comprar.
Sí, se fue volando. Usted encuentra 24. Ingresa ahí. Hay miles de carros que se publican diario y súper seguro para comprar o vender.
Encuentra 24, la plataforma digital más innovadora para buscar, comprar, rentar o vender lo que quieras. Encuentra 24. Si lo publicas, lo vendes.
What's up? Your car won't start, you can't travel and breaks your heart. Valet Motors will fix it or get the parts. Just call 6431-0419 and your car will be fine with Valet Motors.
Valet Motors.
It's Morning Radio, the breakfast show with Jerry D on 89.3 Cool FM from the heart of Panama City in English.
Time on the breakfast show, 29 minutes. That's before the hour of 7 o'clock here on 89.3 Cool FM. Let's take a look at some of the local news that we'll be looking at in more detail a little bit later on. We're going to start off, of course, as we do, with the epidemiological report of Monday. In detail, that in the last 24 hours, two deaths were reported due to COVID-19 for a cumulative total now of 8,229 deaths, leaving us with a lethality percentage of 1. In addition, 832,045 confirmed accumulated cases of these infections with the virus are reported, and which 1,758 were new infections revealed in the last 24 hours. Now, according to the entity, 8,435 tests were applied, giving us a positivity of 20.8%, which is relatively static. We do need to see that number coming down. Active cases, they total 26,614 throughout the country, and of the active cases, a total of 26,356 are in isolation and 258 are hospitalized. Those who are in isolation, they're divided into 26,273 that are in their residences and 83 in the so-called hospital hotels. Now, there are 224 patients in the wards, which is quite a lot, isn't it? And 34 in the intensive care units. Now, in Panama, there is still no suspected case of the monkeypox virus, which is the latest thing that's going around, the Ministry of Health reported on Monday afternoon. Panama, like the rest of the world, is attentive to the alert recently issued by the World Health Organization, the WHO. And, let's see, turn. Oh, it's not turning. My page is not turning. My thing is stuck. My computer thingy is stuck. Hold on, don't go away. Yeah, it's not doing anything. I'll have to come back. It's actually frozen. And that's got all my information. No, I tell you what, let me do this. Let me switch over. I can do this. We'll do it. Don't worry. Let me switch over to my, other computer quickly. Sorry about that. Right, let me see. We were talking about the World Health Organization. Now, after the confirmation of 67 cases in Europe, of which 36 now are in Spain, the Director of Public Health of the Ministry, this is Melva Cruz, explained that MINSA has intensified epidemiological surveillance at entry points with the aim of being able to capture and promptly address cases that are considered suspicious. Now, according to the WHO, the infection can be divided into two stages. The first is incubation, which can last from 0 to 5 days. And the second is skin rash, which can vary from 1 to 3 days after the onset of fever. And it says here, the skin condition usually affects the face in 95% of cases, the palms of the hands and feet in 75%. Jose Atencio, 48 years of age, who's detained for the disappearance of three young women, was charged with the crime of human trafficking in a hearing which was held on Monday, the 23rd of May, in the city of David. Atencio was charged at the request of the Specialized Homicide and Femicide Section of the Regional Prosecutor's Office of the Province of Chiriquí. In addition, the Prosecutor's Office managed to elevate the investigation to a complex cause for its alleged link to the disappearance of the minor Viviana Gallardo. Now, given the evidence presented, the judge who guarantees, this is Rita Williams, considered that there were sufficient elements to formulate a new accusation, thus admitting what was requested by the public ministry. And Mora did, by the way, not rule out the possibility of formulating new charges in the other two investigations carried out by the institution. On its 15th day now of strike, the Coalition of Unity for Kolon Kuko continues with road closures in the province, and public transport also remains paralysed on 9 bus routes. The general strike also has caused the suspension of face-to-face classes, and the impact on the economy in the province of Kolon continues. Monday, 23rd of May, the protests began with road closures near, Ikakal. This is in the Abajo coast area. An artisanal fisherman went out to protest on Monday morning in various parts of the country. The demonstrations have taken place at the height of the seafood market on the coastal strip. Similar actions are recorded in Herrera, Coclé and Veraguas. The fishermen demanded concrete answers from the government in the face of the increase in fuel prices. They allege that only public transport drivers have received support, subsidies from government authorities. The state payroll is one of the components of government spending that puts the greatest pressure on public debt, marked since the pandemic arrived. This is in the midst of a difficult fiscal situation because income remains below spending. In March of 2022, the payroll registered a total of 246,684 officials and a monthly gross salary of $399.8 million. According to the report of the Comptroller General of the Republic. In the first 3 months of 2022, the accumulated state payroll increase or expense totaled $1,176 million, an increase of $52.6 million compared to the first quarter of 2021. And starting on Monday, well, this was yesterday, the 23rd of May, Transport Masivo de Panama SA, that's MIBUS, temporarily changed its strategy, passing 30 main routes to complementary ones. The company that manages the public transport service in the districts of Panama and San Miguelito announced that to meet the demand of the peripheries, they will increase the frequency to the paid areas of Metro Pedregal, Los Andes and Cinco de Mayo, where the buses start service to the city and vice versa in these connectivity points. They go on to say that faced with the global crisis in the transport service, Luis Campana, general manager of MIBUS, assured that the current rates will be maintained. Campana added that these temporary actions will be reviewed again in the and the necessary spare parts. Yes, as they come in, arrive, they will sort of look at it again and see what changes need to be adjusted to make sure you all get to where you're going. And that's what I hope you're doing this morning, getting to where you're going. Right, well, we sorted that out. I'd have to restart my tablety thing. Time on The Breakfast Show, 21 and a half minutes just gone before the hour of 7 o'clock here on 89.3 Call FM.
Stay in the light.
There we go. We started off with the Bee Gees, the Stayin' Alive remix, that one was called, and then Michael Damian and Rock On. You are listening to us on 89.3 Cool FM, smoothest place on your radio dial. I mean, what a thing. There's, you know, we're just sort of getting over COVID, and now there's this monkeypox creeping in. Though they do say there's not too much to worry about. It's not apparently quite severe. We're just sort of keeping an eye on it. Apparently there's certain particular ways that you can detect if people have monkeypox. Apparently one of the things is that, you know, you get you can get a rash, get a bit of a fever. What they do say, of course, there seems to be this irresistible urge to sing, apparently. So the thing, when you come to the airport, the best way to find out is to just keep an eye on everybody. And if anybody's singing, well, then you know. Oh, there we go. Yes, the Monkees, of course, and that's the opening theme for the Monkees. The reason I sort of was rummaging around last night, I was looking at some of the music from the Monkees, and it's an interesting sort of like little small documentary about them, and it's amazing at the time, you know, you think everything is fine, there's a lot of things going on in the background. And of course, originally when they started, they didn't even make their own music or play their own instruments. But it was, in actual fact, this is one of the reasons we got in, back in 1986, Davy Jones, Mickey DeLenz and Peter Tork reunited as the Monkees. They kicked off their reunion tour. This was at the Concord Hotel in New York's Catskill Mountains. So that was in 1986, so about 20-odd years after they first started.
And I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Now her trace of doubt in my mind. I've been alone. I'm a
get its pain. When I needed sunshine, I got rain. Oh, then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Saw her face.
The Breakfast Show. It's better than coffee. My friend, this is the end for me.
There they go, putting on their white sombrero. That's ABBA, and that was it was on their album, Thank You for the Music. And that was released, oh gosh, that was released when? That was back in, let me see, 1980. Yeah. And originally also, by the way, it was on the Thank You for the Music, but it was recorded during the 1980 sessions, which was the Super Trooper sessions. And it had the working title, Spanked 2. Sounds like something you wear, doesn't it? Peak Party on Mallorca, it was also called that as well, and the Padre. And although it was recorded in, was it Polar Studios in September 1980, it didn't make it to the final track list of the original album, that album. That's why it ended up on Thank You for the Music. Time on the Breakfast Show.
I feel so lucky, love and her.
4 before 7. Robert Palmer, and She Makes My Day. Time, by the way, boys and girls, we are exactly 7 o'clock in the morning.
You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production.
The Breakfast Show is brought to you thanks to Imprenta 24. You publish it, you'll sell it.
¿Qué tal, Javier? Ahí vi que estabas vendiendo tu carro.
Sí, mira que ya se vendió.
¡Wow! ¡Qué rápido! Yo te lo quería comprar.
Sí, se fue volando. Usé Encuentra 24. Ingresa ahí. Hay miles de carros que se publican diario y súper seguro para comprar o vender.
Encuentra 24, la plataforma digital más innovadora para buscar, comprar, rentar o vender lo que quieras. Encuentra 24. Si lo publicas, lo vendes.
Te paso un dato. Alórica te contrata. El call center de Panamá tiene más de 300 plazas de empleo en sus oficinas ubicadas en Juan Díaz. Son de contratación inmediata y lo mejor es que recibirás beneficios como seguro médico, bonos de desempeños y mucho más. Solo necesitas ser mayor de edad, saber inglés avanzado y tener muchas ganas de aprender. Si no tienes experiencia, nosotros te entrenamos. Aplica en el WhatsApp 833-7709 o en nuestras redes sociales @alorica. Panamá.
We have the best music from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and beyond. Join us for the latest news and great interviews. The best place to be in the mornings. The Breakfast Show with Jerry D. Cool FM 89.3.
And if you've just joined us, a very good morning to you. We are 1.5 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock. Looking at some of the international news for this morning, Russian forces were launching an all-out assault to encircle Ukrainian troops in Twin Cities, straddling a river in eastern Ukraine on Tuesday, a battle which could determine the success or failure of Moscow's main campaign in the east. Exactly 3 months after Russia invaded Ukraine, authorities in the second-largest city, Kharkiv, were expected to open the underground metro where thousands of civilians had sought shelter for months under relentless bombardment. The reopening is a symbol of Ukraine's biggest military success over the past few weeks, pushing Russian forces largely out of artillery range of Kharkiv, as they did from the capital, Kiev, in March. Copenhagen's pledge of Harpoon anti-ship missiles and a launcher to Ukraine, announced by the United States on Monday, is the first sign that the Russian invasion in February, that Kyiv will receive US-made weapons that significantly extend its striking range. Ukraine has been seeking more advanced weapons, such as air defenses, anti-ship missiles, and longer-range rockets, but so far the majority of the aid has been in short-range systems like Javelin anti-tank weapons and artillery. The World Health Organization, this is what we talked about earlier, the monkeypox, said on Tuesday there have been 131 now confirmed monkeypox cases and 106 further suspected cases since the first was reported on the 7th of May outside the countries where it usually spreads. While the outbreak is unusual, it remains containable and limited, the World Health Organization said, and it is convening further meetings to support member states with more advice on how to tackle the situation. The world is navigating a dark hour in our shared history with Russia's invasion of Ukraine, US President Joe Biden told key Asian allies. The war has now become a global issue, underscoring the importance of defending international order, he said. Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida also echoed his comments, saying that a similar invasion should not happen in Asia. Mr. Biden is meeting the leaders of Japan, Australia, India, and this is all in Tokyo, and with his first visit to Asia as president. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has said he no longer recognizes the leader of neighboring Greece and will refuse to meet him at a planned summit. Mr. Erdogan accused the Greek Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis of seeking to block the sale of American-made F-16 fighter jets to Turkey while visiting the US. There's no longer anyone called Mitsotakis in my book, Mr. Erdogan told reporters after a cabinet meeting. Over in the UK, Amber Heard's team, this is the Johnny Depp Amber Heard case which is going on, they have decided not to call Johnny Depp to the stand, a source close to Mrs. Heard's or Miss Heard's said. A strategic U-turn in the last days of the high-profile trial. Miss Heard's team had planned to call Mr. Depp for more questioning on Monday, but changed course without explaining. This was at midday. British supermodel Kate Moss, a former girlfriend of Mr. Depp, is among witnesses expected to take the stand in the remaining days of the defamation trial. On Monday, the court in Fairfax... On Monday, the court in Fairfax, Virginia, heard from several witnesses called by Ms. Heard's team, including psychologist David Spiegel. Airbnb is shutting down its domestic rentals in China, where zero COVID policy has meant lockdowns are ongoing. All listings for homes and experiences in the country will be removed from the company's website by summer, a source familiar with the matter told the BBC. And stays within China made up only apparently 1% of Airbnb's revenue over the last few years. The company is expected to instead focus on Chinese residents travelling abroad to other destinations. Argentine President Alberto Fernandez has made a large donation as part of a deal to end an investigation into a lockdown party that he and his wife hosted. The couple came under investigation after photos emerged showing them having a birthday dinner attended by about a dozen people while lockdown measures were in force. At the time, public gatherings, including funerals, were banned. The photos caused outrage and caused the president's popularity to plummet. 10 people have been killed and dozens injured after an unfinished building collapsed in southwest Iran, the Iranian Red Cross, Red Crescent said. Rescue teams worked through the night to pull out the dozens still trapped in the 10-story Metropole office block in Abadan, state media reported. Pictures have shown that concrete floors and steel beams had fallen onto the street below, crushing several cars. Officials said that the cause of the collapse was being investigated. And the sudden collapse of two popular digital coins in early May shocked investors and wiped $400 billion, that's around about £318 billion, UK pounds, from the value of many other cryptocurrencies, including the biggest, Bitcoin. All over the world, people who lost their life savings are now appealing for help. One desperate man was even arrested after visiting the home of the elusive businessman at the centre of the crypto crash. He told BBC News his life was in tatters. In the volatile world of cryptocurrencies, fortunes can be made and lost rapidly. But the May 2022 crypto crash has been particularly devastating for one man in South Korea. So there we go. That's it. There's some of the international news for this morning. We'll take a look at some of the business news at the bottom of the hour, and in between, well, we'll look at the clouds outside the studio window as we look at the weather. Told him if you work too hard, you can sweat. That's what they say, is it? There's the Stranglers there, always the sun. I don't necessarily think that's the case, do you? But we will find out. We'll take a look at the weather after this one. This is Nick Kershaw this morning on The Breakfast Show. It's called The Riddle. Keep an eye on the time, 12 and a half exactly after the hour, 7 o'clock. Don't forget, joining me in the 8 o'clock hour, around about 8.25, 8.30, Dr. Stanley Heckerton-Moreno is going to be chatting with us. He'll be talking about his books, perhaps a couple of things as well. Nick Kershaw and the riddle. Well, the riddle is, what's happened to the weather? That's what I want to know. Looking at the studio windows, a very cloudy morning this morning. Doesn't look like there's much hope from what we're looking at the moment, the sun popping through. But let's go and take a look, shall we, and see what hydrometeorological report says for this morning. And we're starting over in the province of Colón, Costa Rica. 29 degrees Celsius is the maximum temperature today, with 23 being the minimum. 36 degrees Celsius, that's the thermal sensation, with relative humidity up there over 90%, in fact at 91%. Now they reckon it's going to be cloudy for the course of the morning, isolated rains and thunderstorms in the afternoon, and tonight it will be partially cloudy. Moving along to West Panama, moving over to this side of the isthmus, we've got 29 degrees, the maximum temperature, same as over there in on the Colón side. 23 degrees will be the minimum temperature, with 35 being the thermal sensation, with 88% relative humidity. Isolated showers during the course of this morning, isolated rains with some thunderstorms. Oh, excuse me, getting more croaky. Isolated rains with thunderstorms, that's in the course of the afternoon. Tonight, isolated showers. Moving along the coast to us here in the metropolitan area, let's see what's in store for us. 29 degrees Celsius, the maximum temperature, 22 will be the minimum, 35 thermal sensation with 89% relative humidity. Isolated showers during the course of this morning, isolated rains and thunderstorms in the afternoon, and partially cloudy tonight, so pretty much the same as in West Panama. Moving out into the Gulf, out to the Perlis Islands, we have 27 degrees being the maximum temperature during the course of the day. The minimum temperature will be 22, 34 degrees Celsius, the thermal sensation, and 98% relative humidity. That's nearly 100%. That's when you're in the swimming pool. So there we go. That's out there. Now, let's take a look. Isolated rains with thunderstorms during the course of the morning. In the afternoon, isolated rains with thunderstorms, and tonight, partially cloudy. And that's it. That's it for the weather report. Now, let us take a look and see what's happening in the world of maritime. We're going to start off with the tides on the Pacific. Low tide, first one this morning, 4:39, and that was 0.79 of a meter. High tide again. Well, the first one will be at 11:08 this morning, 4.36 metres. Low tide again, 5:18 in the afternoon, 0.94 of a metre. And the high tide, the last one, 11:41 p.m. tonight, and that will be 4.08 metres. Take a look at the Caribbean. Low tide was at 1:40 this morning. That was 0.06 of a metre. High tide, that will be, oh, we just missed it, 11 minutes ago. That is at 7:10 this morning, the high tide, and that's 0.21 of a metre. The low tide will be at 1:59 in the afternoon, just before 2 o'clock, and that'll be minus 0.09 of a metre. The last high tide, just before 9 o'clock at 8:59 p.m, and that'll be 0.24 of a metre. So there we are, there's the tides. Let's take a look and see what's happening with the actual sea conditions, maritime conditions, starting off on the Caribbean. Light winds, good conditions, no advisory for you this morning. Light winds 8 to 12 kilometres an hour from a southerly direction with waves at 3 feet. In the afternoon, good conditions will continue. 2-foot waves, 6 to 10 kilometres an hour, so winds very light from a southeasterly direction, as I say, waves at 2 feet. Moving over to the Pacific, we have good conditions for this morning. Again, the winds will be light, 4 to 8 kilometres an hour coming from the southeast. Waves, no, there aren't any. It says zero. In the afternoon, good conditions continue. Still missing some waves. There will be no waves in the afternoon. Winds are still light, 4 to 8 kilometres an hour, south-southeast. What I can tell you right now, over on this side, sort of going out into the other side of the office here just now, it is quite windy. It is quite windy right now, and I think it's a little bit more than 4 to 8 kilometres an hour. It ruffled my hair, and that's saying something. Oh, yes, I do have some. Moonlight Shadow from Mike Oldfield.
She couldn't find how to push through.
Snake our way to 26 and a half minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock. Couple of good mornings. Good morning to Mary Lou. She wished us a good morning first thing today. And got a message from Renee this morning. Very good morning to you, Renee. And she was, the storm, I must have said, it woke me up last night. Mainly, I guess, because as I said, we do sleep with the window open. And the rain was pouring down and the thunder was banging away. And, of course, the breeze coming through the apartment slammed the bedroom door at the same time. So a bit of a restless night, really, and that's exactly what sort of Renee's saying this morning. She says, good morning. She says, holy smokes. That was a heck of a storm, not a very restful night. The storm, says, knocked tiles off our roof. Looks like a battle zone at our house this morning. Broken tiles all over the place. Can you please play The Doors, Riders on the Storm? Oh, there we go. Does sound like last night, actually, doesn't it? What a classic track as well.
Riders on the storm, into this house we're born, into this world we're thrown, like a dog without a bone, and after out alone, riders on the storm, there's a killer on the road, his brain is squirming like a toad. Take a long holiday. Let your children play. If you give this man a ride, sweet family will die. Killer on the road.
on the storm. Riders on the storm. Into this house we're born. Into this world we're thrown. Like a dog without a bone. And actor out alone. Riders on the storm.
I just love that track. Absolute classic Doors. I tell you what, that has brought us down to the bottom of the hour. In actual fact, 29 minutes right now. And that is 29 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. By the way, don't forget Dr. Stanley Hector Dr. Stanley Hector Moreno is joining us in the 8 o'clock hour this morning.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio. Cool FM.
Let us take a look, shall we, some of the international business news for this Tuesday morning, 24th of May. Shares slid worldwide on Tuesday as fears about weak earnings and slowing growth punctured the recent mini-rally, while hawkish remarks from European Central Bank Chief Christine Lagarde reminded edgy markets that rate hikes are looming. Nasdaq futures lost 2.06%, with traders blaming an earnings warning from Snap, which saw shares in the Snapchat owner tumble 28%, while S&P 500 futures slipped 1.47%. That followed a 1.4% fall in MSCI's broadest index of Asia Pacific shares outside of Japan, while the benchmark stocks index of European shares fell 1.1%. All major sectors fell, with utilities and commodity-linked stocks leading declines as investors awaited May Purchasing Managers Index data due in the morning session for clues about the slowing economy. India's oil minister Hardeep Singh Puri told the World Economic Forum in Davos on Tuesday that crude oil price of $110 was not sustainable as the world faces an energy price crisis which is contributing to rising global inflation. Oil prices have surged this year, with Brent crude hitting $139 a barrel in March for its highest price since 2008, after Russia's invasion of Ukraine exasperated supply concerns. The head of the Organisation for European Cooperation and Development, the OECD, on Tuesday said that it was quietly optimistic a landmark deal to establish a global minimum tax will be approved by European Union members, but implementation may not occur until 2024. OECD Secretary General Matthias Cormann also told a panel at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, that it was manifestly in the interests of the United States to join the deal struck last year among nearly 140 countries to establish a global minimum tax rate of 15% on multinational corporations. UK's FTSE 100 fell on Tuesday as the global mood soured after bleak results from social media firm Snap, and shares of British utilities slumped after a media report fueled speculation of a windfall tax. UK's power generation companies Drax, Centrica and SSE plunged between 10.9% and 17.5% after the Financial Times reported that the British government planning a possible windfall tax on more than £10 billion. This is of excess profits by electricity generators. The wider utilities index dropped by 2.3%. The crypto winter is into its ninth week, and Bitcoin can't shake the chills. From technicals to turnover, market indicators are flashing red or amber for the biggest cryptocurrency, which has lost a third of its value in just 2 months. So, what now? Bitcoin's limited history isn't much of a guide on crypto winters, which are defining as prolonged bearishness for a month or more. There have been five now since 2017 and three since 2021. Last year's two crashes lasted 14 and 10 weeks and caused Bitcoin to lose 45 to 47%. If they were typical, Bitcoin latest drop 36% shed in 8 weeks has road left to run. Keep your fingers crossed. Russia's biggest mobile operator, MTS, said on Tuesday that it had started selling discounted and used smartphones, offering Russian consumers cheaper alternatives as inflation bites and Western brands suspend shipments. Apple paused all production sales in Russia in early March, and one of many Western companies to distance themselves from Moscow since it sent tens of thousands of troops into Ukraine on the 24th of February in what it called a special military operation. And that's it. There we go. There's some things in the international business news on this Tuesday morning, the 24th of May.
Everybody get up.
There we go, with two in a row. Started off with Robin Thicke together with McFarrell there, Mr. McFarrell, TJ Farrell. Blurred Lines is what it was called. And this one, Prince, of course, and Take Me With You here on this morning's breakfast show. If you keep an eye on the time, we're 16 minutes away from the hour of 8 o'clock. Top of the hour, we're going to take a look at the local news. And say, Dr. Stanley Hectorton Moreno joining me in the 8 o'clock hour today.
Maybe you're not the one for me. Then I'll come, I can bring you to your knees. If you're not the one for me, why do I hate the idea of being free? And if I'm not the one for you, you've got to stop holding me the way you do. Oh,
there's Water Under the Bridge from Adele. And I tell you what, looking at time, 12 minutes, right, 12 minutes right now, okay, before the hour of 8 o'clock. Mary Lou, she just dropped us a line. You know how we like to keep an eye on her progress in the mornings. Mary Lou dropped us a line. She is still waiting. She says, still waiting for a bus that was supposed to be here at 7 o'clock. The time is now 12 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. And still waiting for the bus. Says the bus company decided to eliminate routes. Well, we had some of that, didn't we, in the news this morning when we look in the headlines. Don't forget, more of that at 8 o'clock. But that is absolutely ridiculous. And what is their reason? They don't have spare parts. They don't. Their buses are out of operation. They don't have spare parts. It's the same old story, isn't it? Really, really is. And, you know, they really, come on. Things are bad enough right now, especially with this weather. And they've sort of cut back on their buses. Sorry about that, Mary Lou. Do keep us in touch. Let us know how you get on. 11 before the hour of 8 o'clock this morning on The Breakfast Show.
Traces, she moves on the sand like echoes of laughter from a faraway land. Patterns she makes in the eyes of the moon when she's dancing like a child in and out of tune. Like ghosts on the shore. The neighbors, they whisper, neath black satin skies. Patterns she makes in the eyes of the moon when she's dancing like a child in and out of tune. Blind, I was led. She gave me her cross, and like Jesus, I bled. Patterns she makes in the eyes of the moon when she's dancing like a child in and out of tune.
They call themselves the Coral, and that was Eyes of the Moon. Time to go and have a little bit of fun at the fairground, I think. And who better to do that with than Simply Red? Here on The Breakfast Show, we are 8 minutes before the hour, 8 o'clock.
Make a man's eye go good mention.
The Breakfast Show. It's better than coffee.
I guess if you say so, I'll have to pack my things and go.
That's right, hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more.
What you say? This away, but I'll be back on my feet someday.
Don't care that you call this understood. You ain't got no money, you just ain't no good.
Well, I guess if you say so, I'll have to pack my things and go.
That's right, hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more.
What you say?
That's Mr. Ray Charles, of course, and Hit the Road, Jack. And, well, that has really brought us to this time in the show.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production.
The Breakfast Show is brought to you thanks to Encuentra 24. You publish it, you'll sell it.
¿Qué tal, Javier? Ahí vi que estabas vendiendo tu carro.
Sí, mira que ya se vendió.
¡Wow! ¡Qué rápido! Yo te lo quería comprar.
Sí, se fue volando. Usé Encuentra 24. Ingresa ahí. Hay miles de carros que se publican diario y súper seguro para comprar o vender.
Encuentra 24, la plataforma digital más innovadora para buscar, comprar, rentar o vender lo que quieras. Encuentra 24. Si lo publicas, lo vendes.
Te paso un dato. Alórica te contrata. El Call Center de Panamá tiene más de 300 plazas de empleo en sus oficinas ubicadas en Juan Díaz. Son de contratación inmediata. Y lo mejor es que recibirás beneficios como seguro médico, bonos de desempeños y mucho más. Solo necesitas ser mayor de edad, saber inglés avanzado y tener muchas ganas de aprender. Si no tienes experiencia, nosotros te entrenamos. Aplica en el WhatsApp 833-7709 o en nuestras redes sociales @alórica. Panamá.
Whoa! Valet Motors, best car service around Panama. WhatsApp them at 6431-0419. Valet Motors.
Valet Motors.
Yes, I will. Cause it was the day that my daddy died. I never got a chance to see him. Never heard nothing but bad things about him. Mama, I'm depending on you. Tell me the truth.
Mama just hung her head and said, son,
Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home.
Papa never was a day in his life.
And Mama, some bad talk going around town saying that Papa had 3 outside children and another wife. And that ain't right.
Heard some talk about Papa doing some storefront preaching. Talking about saving souls and all the time leeching. Stealing in debt and stealing in the name of the Lord. Mama just hung her head and said,
thank you.
There we go. Two nice tracks in a row. We started off with The Temptations and Papa Was a Rolling Stone, the extended mix, I hasten to say. And following on there, Philip Leo and Don't Judge Me, the mellow mix. That's what we like, isn't it? A bit of mellowness here on this morning's breakfast show. And I tell you what, let me welcome to the program, and that is Dr. Stanley Hagedon Moreno. Good morning to you, Stanley. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I see you were in Cerro Ancon.
There we go. Hey, oh, well, there you are. You're up there in the newbies, in the clouds up in Cerro Ancon. Look, it's lovely to have you back with us here on the show. And you've been on, you've been on for many, many years now. Lovely to have you back. And what we want to talk about first, let's talk about your books. Now, I did mention to our listeners this morning that I was very kindly sent your short version of your biography.
Yes.
Which is longer than a lot of people's books.
Sorry for that.
No, not at all. I mean, your accomplishments are absolutely incredible, Stanley. And what I was interested in, of course, you studied at the University of Essex.
Yes, that's right. I did my master's and PhD at Essex in Colchester.
Yeah, you see, we have something in common, because I was born in Essex.
Oh, there you go. You're an Essex baby.
Yeah, but not many of us admit to that. You know, it's normally kept a secret. But, I was born in a place called Romford. I don't know if you're aware that is. And I lived for many years in a place called Upminster, which was on the end of the district line going out of London. So, we've got so much in common, Stanley.
Well, my son was born in at Essex Maternity.
Really?
My wife and I were there. She was doing her master's, and I was doing my PhD, and Diego was born at Essex Maternity. And we lived at Kogoshol, just a small little village. The old Roman road between Camolodunum and Londunium.
Good. Your Latin's good too. Look, it's lovely to have you with us, Stanley. Look, let's because we've got three of your books to talk about, and now the first one that I've got here, which we can talk about, is Alexander Wetmore and the Las Aves de Panama, because this book is a staple, isn't it, for people that want to know about the wildlife. It must be a bird spotter's Bible, I would think, isn't it, this one?
I'm not a historian of science, but I got so interested when I heard of Dr. Wetmore, got his writings, realized that he had explored Panama for 22 years, especially during the dry season.
Right.
He was a specialist on the migratory birds of the Americas. And he would study the migratory birds from Alaska to Patagonia.
Wow.
So he explored Panama all the way from the border of Darien and Colombia to the border with Costa Rica. And wrote the four volumes which are considered to be the Bible of the birds of Panama.
And
because he was so little known, I decided I would go in his letters, which are held at the Smithsonian Archives, Natural History, which, by the way, he was for about 25 years, director of the Museum of Natural History of the Smithsonian in Washington. That's where they have at the entrance the dinosaur.
Oh, okay.
For some reason or other, kids love dinosaurs. So he came to Panama in 1944 to Las Perlas, and he would look from the distance out there to the Darien Highlands. And he had a very well-known naturalist tell him, Wetmore, if you ever go to Panama, you have to go to the Darien because it is scientifically unknown. He started in the Pearl Islands in 1944, and then he went on to Darien, and then he just kept, how about this part of Panama? Nobody's gone there. I should go there. Nobody's gone out there to Bocas del Toro. I should go there. So pretty soon what was going to be originally like two or three expeditions turned out to be a lifetime. He came to Panama when he was over his 50s, which in those days was almost retirement age.
Right, right.
And he dedicated the last 25 years of his life to Panama. And another thing, Gary, is that he carried a Leica camera.
Okay.
And he took 3,500 photographs, black and white photographs, mm-hmm. of Panama. The land, the people, the forest, the villages, the trails, it's so fascinating to look at those black and white pictures. So
I can imagine.
I began to translate him and also try to set his explorations in Panama, what was occurring in the isthmus at the
mm-hmm.
time,
mm-hmm.
and then introduce photos. Mario Lewis was the editor of Épocas,
okay.
The supplement of La Prensa.
Mm-hmm.
Was kind enough to allow me a lot of leeway, so I ended up writing 40 articles on Dr. Wetmore, right from 44 to his last one in 1996,
mm-hmm.
during the sea level canal studies. And then some friends say, why don't you do a book? Fortunately, I had Angelito de la Guardia,
mm-hmm.
Who supported me for the funding. It was edited and then printed in Colombia, and then came the pandemia, coronavirus.
Right.
So the book was not presented, you know, it was just like we were in complete shutdown for about
mm-hmm.
2 years. So
mm-hmm.
pretty much not known, the book. So I'm glad that I was able to write about him and introduce him to the Panamanian public. And how important he is for the natural sciences of the isthmus.
Absolutely. I mean, his books on the birds are quite famous. But was he specifically an ornithologist, or was he more general than that, Stanley?
Well, he was, I would say, a naturalist.
Right.
When he was a student at the University of Kansas, a senior,
mm-hmm.
He used to help in the museum. The little, you know, every university has a little museum.
Right,
and
right.
An opportunity arose to do what they call a biological survey of a territory not very well known called Alaska. So he was sent to Alaska, took a train in Kansas,
right.
like 2 days to Seattle, then by steamer, dropped
right,
him off on
right.
the Aleutian Islands.
Yeah.
And his terms of reference, like, you got to study the birds, the mammals, the marine mammals,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The trees, the shrubs, the geology. Like, wow. Today they will send an expedition of about 50 people.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He was like a one-time band. And he generated a reputation for being a problem solver.
Uh-huh.
If he couldn't get something done, he will find a way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess his career as a field naturalist began in Alaska and matured to the extreme in Panama.
Mm-hmm. And the thing, because I noticed here, sort of having a little read here, Stanley, he was also a member of the board of directors of the Gorgas Memorial Hospital as well.
Yes, he was a member of the board of directors of the Gorgas Memorial Hospital, the Gorgas Institute of Tropical Medicine,
mm-hmm.
let me say. And so the board was just a who's who of tropical medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't just allowed him to meet people from different walks of life, get to know Panama,
mm-hmm.
The canal zone. He was also a member of the board of Barro Colorado Island.
Oh, okay.
Which,
yeah.
By the way, the Gorgas Institute of Tropical Medicine will be 100 years next year. Barro Colorado Island,
mm-hmm.
Of which he was a member of the board, will be 100 years next year.
Wow.
And so it's a major accomplishment. He had the foresight. Because Barro Colorado Island was part of under the governor of the canal zone.
Mm-hmm.
But Dr. Wetmore, in 1946, convinced President Truman to take the biological station of Barro Colorado under the governor of the canal zone and passed it on to the Smithsonian in Washington.
Okay.
And then saved the island
mm-hmm.
And then he turned it into a global institution. He, for the first time, contracted permanent scientists, mm-hmm. that he used to call resident scientists. And that's how it grew, little Barro Colorado station into what's today the Smithsonian Tropical Research Institute.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely famous, very famous. How is this then? Because, you know, looking at your three books here that we're going to talk about, that one was the Alexander Wetmore y las Aves de Panamá. I see. So you've got Alexander Wetmore. And then you're talking about the man who spoke to the rocks. Was that after a few rum and cokes, that one, Stanley?
I went to give a presentation on Dr. Wetmore to a group of people, Panamanian and Zonians, who love the history. And I went to talk about Dr. Wetmore, and out of the blue, this canal pilot comes to me and says, wow, you've written about zoologists and botanists, but you never spoken about geologists.
Okay.
I said, well, I've read some of their, or at least tried to read their books in about geologists on the isthmus, but they're too complicated. And so he says to me, well, I got a surprise for you. And he took me home by the locks at Pedro Miguel at Cardenas. And to my surprise, his father was Robert Stewart, the chief geologist of the canal. And his son had the diaries, field diaries.
Okay.
And
folklore. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And again, just like Dr. Wetmore, Robert Harry Stewart was, in a way, although he was a geologist, he was a naturalist.
Right.
He had an eye for, you name it, the plants, the animals, the rivers, the creeks, the people, the customs, the beliefs. And another very fascinating, and this struck me, one of the things that struck me the most about his diary, he originally wanted to be a theologist.
Okay.
So he studied theology, yeah, because he wanted to be a pastor of souls and be sent to the Amazon or to the Congo.
Or Cherokee.
Or Cherokee. So he graduated in Northwestern in theology, was sent to do theological work with the farmers in Northwestern U.S., And after 2 years or so, he thought that he wanted to go into higher divinity studies.
Okay.
Study Aramean, Latin, Greek. And his tutor, that's the importance of tutors. His tutor, sensing him, said, Stuart, you're not going to be a theologian. Don't go ahead into higher divinity studies.
Right. Have you thought about rocks?
He said, textually, what is it which is mundane you like? And so Stewart thinks it over. He says, well, when I was a little kid, my papa and mama would take me in picnics on the weekends, and I collected rocks.
Okay.
So his tutor said, well, at Northwestern, we have one of the best geological institutes in the U.S. And that's how our theologist became a geologist. And he came in 1947 as part of the studies of a sea level canal via the Chuquimaca River.
Interesting. I mean, so this one sort of, so your book about Wetmore sort of led into this one. I mean, how do you sort of, so this sort of led in, but how do you sort of really go about, do you sort of suddenly have a moment's inspiration and said, yeah, I need to write about this guy. He's done quite a bit of work. And how, what's your thought process, Stanley?
My thought process goes a lot by intuition. I might have heard the name. I might come across it and suddenly realize that. Or for example, since I've done a lot of field work across the isthmus, and I realized, well, this part of that end, nobody's been there, or maybe somebody's been, but I don't know about it. So I come across this very fascinating people who went to places that have changed enormously. So I wanted to take their testimony, even better if they have photos, and share with the Panamanian Spanish-speaking people, like, look what the country looked like 40, 50, 100 years ago.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it that's how I get it done. And fortunately, Mario Luis at the Epocas has been very, you know, he asked me originally, and that's how, back in 1995, he said, Stanley, in 2000, the canal will be transferred to Panama. And why don't you write 4 articles on how Smithsonian came to Panama?
Mm-hmm.
So I started writing on the what was called the biological survey of the canal zone and the Republic of Panama. Both were very new in 1904.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, starting there, how Smithsonian came about to Panama in 1904, I've been writing since 1995, one monthly article, until today.
Wow.
That's like, I don't know how many monthly articles, way over 200 or 250 articles.
I mean, that's incredible. I mean, there must be somebody lurking somewhere, Stanley, that's already started the book about Stanley Hecton Moreno. I think we might have lost Stanley. We've frozen. Let's just give it a minute. Can you hear me, Stanley? Hello? No, I tell you what, let me just... if I put a piece of music on, that normally means that he'll come straight back. Oh, he's gone. Well, wait for him to... He'll be back with us in just a second, all being well. We'll do this one. Sound of silence. Well, silence is golden. Much more to the point. We'll be right back. Oh, there we go.
Oh,
there you go. That's it. Oh, for a while there, you were frozen, but you were talking away. What I was just saying, Stanley, while you were chatting about that was, you know, who's already started writing the book about Stanley Hecton Moreno?
I have no idea. Maybe Facebook.
Well, there's a change of the times. I mean, it's interesting you're saying, because, I mean, I came here in 1993, so, I mean, that's nothing. And, I mean, I remember when I came here in those days that the road into the interior, if you were going sort of, going to the David area, I mean, the road was just a single road with potholes in it. I remember taking, I think it was about 5.5 hours one time to get back from Coronado because there'd been an accident. And of course, in these days, you know, we're going back, Stanley, you know, with Wetmore back to the 1940s. There was probably been virtually nothing in the way of roads at all then. I mean, it was all an expedition, wasn't it?
Oh, it was, it's one of the thrusts of the book that I try to show the reader how hard it was to set up a scientific expedition to Panama or anywhere in Latin America.
Mm. Ask the Scottish.
There were hardly any roads. The maps were just appalling.
Mm-hmm.
When Dr. Wetmore was in the field, there was no communication. Mm-hmm. There were no telegraph,
no.
There were no walkie-talkies,
no.
There were no cell phones.
No Facebook.
No Facebook. And he came to be the secretary of the Smithsonian, which is like in France would be the minister of culture, I guess.
Right.
A very high position. And he would leave the Smithsonian in the dry season and come to Panama and spend 2-3 months in Panama in the middle of nowhere, incomunicado.
Incredible.
The Air Force would send a DC-3 somewhere out to Darien, go out to such a river and drop the mail. And can you imagine a secretary of the Smithsonian taking off for 3 months and nobody knowing it today?
I mean, in fact, thinking about it, I mean, it's really quite scary, isn't it? Because, I mean, anything can happen. I must admit, you know, I take my hat off to these people. And, you know, you mentioned about the Darien, of course, you know, coming from the other side of the pond originally. Look what happened with Scotland due to their expedition to the Darien. And, you know, the history here is absolutely incredible. We're just a small little isthmus, but the influence that we've had and the effects that we've had on the world over the years and politics has been really quite incredible.
Oh, absolutely, yes. One of the things that he and his companions, and particularly his Panamanian companions, mm-hmm. he always had with him guides, trackers.
Right.
In Spanish, they call vaquianos.
Mm-hmm.
So I also, in the book, try to stress some of the young men who most or not work with the Gorgas, but who knew the jungle very well
mm-hmm.
and could go in and out without maps. They were trackers.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And their fear also about the doctor, about the doctor Wenmore, is that he would go out at night looking for night birds. And they were, his Panamanian trackers would comment like, when I did interview them, the very last one before he died, Armagedón Harman in Chiriquí, he said, doctor was going out at night looking for birds, and my fear was that he would be bitten by a fer de lance.
Oh, yeah.
By a, uh-huh. one of these very bad serpientes.
Uh-huh.
Serpents.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And how do we get him out? Because Dr. Wetmore was 6 feet six.
Oh, so really? Yeah.
How his little Panamanian guys, who were like 5'5", get him off in a dugout canoe for 3 days to wait for a DC tree to pick him up and stuff. Oh, God.
Oh, no. That is scary. No, I take my hat off to him. Now, listen, Stanley, what I want to say is now your other book, we're moving away from the Darien. I guess the Creole from Bocas del Toro. Carlos Reed, was he always on vacation, was he, in Bocas del Toro?
Well, when I was at the Ministry of Planning, it was one of my duties or one of my tasks to start thinking about the comarca system, Indian territories.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was a very hot item. So I was assigned that responsibility. And, I tried to find out who was living where since
mm-hmm.
when.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to go to Bocas first because it was farther clear. It was less developed. And the Creole people, the English-speaking Protestant black people who had migrated in the early 1800s
mm-hmm.
to Bocas were living in the islands, particular places of the mainland. The Latinos were in Chiriquí Grande in the mainland.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were the Nobe people or the Guaymín, the Cricamola. So I decided to start the sort of my first draft map of future comarcas.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
But when I get to Bocas del Toro, I had all my plans ready. I would go to the governorship, look at the archives. Then I would go in dugout canoe to the alcaldías and look at the records, and then go in dugout canoe to the villages
mm-hmm.
and speak to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Do what's called oral history to reconstruct who was living, when, where, etc. But the moment I get to Bocas del Toro, I realize that the archives of the governorship of Bocas del Toro since the Colombian period had been burned. A governor had given the order to dump all the records up the roof and put some iron sheets
mm-hmm,
on
mm-hmm,
top of
mm-hmm.
And there was a storm, an electrical storm, like only in Bocas you can see. The electrical cables took fire, and then all the records went in flames. Then when finally the bomberos come, the bombero car was flat and there was no gasoline. So when they arrived to the alcaldía, the fire is roaring. So they put the pressure of the hoses at full blast.
Mm.
And all of the records were turned, churned. It looked like a vanilla milkshake.
Right.
I very seldom get depressed. But that day, looking at how the archives of Bocas del Toro, I used to have to go lunch to a very famous cook in the islands called Susie Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
And Susie says to me, "Oh, Mr. Stanley, you look depressed. What's the matter?" And I said, "Oh, Susie, all of the records, they're gone." And then she very calmly said, "Well, you should go and talk to Mr. Reed, Teacher Reed."
Okay.
He knows a lot. Well, it turns out, that Mr. Reed was a Creole elder.
Mm-hmm.
And he had lived with the Nobis, with the Waimi people. He carried in his head so much of the history of Bocas del Toro.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fascinated because I didn't know hardly anything about the Creoles.
Right, right.
Los Criollos.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided to, well, I'll do his oral history. And several times I came to Bocas, and my wife and I stay with Miss Dora, his wife, and Carlos. We became very good friends and first published a book in Spanish and English in 1980. And then Etcetera Book said to me, why don't you publish just in English, which allow me to put more maps, more photographs.
Oh, okay.
But it's and share it with the Panamanian people, this cultural diversity of Panama. We tend to think of Panama being a small country, and most people would not realize not only the biological diversity, but the cultural diversity.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
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 So that's that effort, trying to rescue the story of the Creoles of Bocas del Toro. I mean, they came way back in the 1820s. They came before those West Indians who built the Panama Railroad. They came way before those who built the canal.
Yeah.
So it's a, I think, a fascinating history of cultural dimensions.
Oh, incredible. Absolutely incredible. I mean, Stanley, you've been involved in so many things in Panama. I mean, things like, I'm looking, you talked about the comarcas, the territories. We've got here economic policy and planning in the wake of the drought in 82-83. You led the task force on the Panama Canal watershed that analyzed the watershed main recommendations. Protect the surviving 20,000 hectares of the tropical forest and the headland. I mean, you, as I said, you know, somebody's going to be writing a book about Stanley Hecton Moreno, if not already. You've had a tremendous amount of influence. And one of the things I wanted, because we're looking the other day that you were involved in those days, but not necessarily the new idea, just sort of quickly to talk about, and that is we were talking about, or they have been talking about, Cerro Patacón. And, you know, it's basically coming to the end of its usefulness. And I know that you worked on the last one, the one with Costa del Este, and Cerro Patacón, and I know now they're thinking about another one. Don't you think, Stanley, it's time we sort of just stopped piling our rubbish in the country? I mean, you know, we're a small enough country as it is. We've already got our mining. Cerro Patacón, to be perfectly honest, is an absolute disaster. Now is an opportunity, don't you think, that we have really got to think seriously about what we do with our rubbish. We've really got to think seriously now about recycling. And now is the perfect opportunity to do it. And I've said a number of times on the program, and I don't know what you're thinking, it really needs to be privatized and given to somebody that knows exactly what to do with waste, how to dispose of it, how to get rid of recycle. And then and also the other thing is these professionals, what they do is the stuff that they can't recycle, they will burn a lot of it off, and at the same time, by burning it off, they create electricity. It's about time we turned it into a business and not just a means of just throwing stuff away. What are your thoughts on that, Stanley?
Well, I ended up studying garbage in Panama by Cosas de la Vida.
Mm-hmm.
There was a crisis in 82, 83 because of El Nino. And Panama Viejo, the mangroves of Panama Viejo, which have been used as a dumping, it's called vertedero de
bosque,
basurero de Panama Viejo, it went up in flames, the methane. They were,
sure, so absolutely. We were, it's like a big compost heap.
Oh, yes. So I was a group of us, technical people, researchers, we were asked to go to the Palacio de las Garzas, the Panama White House.
Mm-hmm.
And the president said, well, we got a crisis with the garbage in Panama. This is the year of 82, 83.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, the housewives of the neighborhoods around the dump yard of Panama had shut the entrance to the basurero, and they were not allowing 1,500 tons of garbage to accumulate in the streets of Panama City.
Right.
And if you would have taken a camera and gone to Vía España or Avenida Central, there was just tons and tons of garbage rotting.
Uh-huh.
And that became a political issue. So the decision was made, do something. Find out how we close Panama Viejo, and find a new site for a new waste treatment plant. And so for some reason or other, I ended up coordinating the group. And it, to me, it was fascinating. It was my first piece of work, which was not rural. It was an urban situation.
Right, right, exactly.
I had to go into the history of garbage collection, organize a team in which we had economists, the best people in soils and hydrology from the then Technological University. And I remember my first day at Panama Viejo in 82, 83, in this El Nino year. The smell, the stench, the flies. And then the hundreds, there were something like 1,500 people living in the dump. But at the same time, there was an economic, I didn't realize $3 million of products were being collected in the dump by different very humble people, particularly glass,
right.
cardboard, paper, aluminum, copper, batteries, and that the price of those products would go up and down according to world prices.
Exactly.
So after studying Panama Viejo, and we saw that, I was astonished when my economist said to me, we got a serious problem not only of health here in the mangroves of Panama Viejo, but also the corruption. It was just... the amount of diesel fuel that was being lost, the new tires for the trucks were lost, the dirt, so half the money was gone. So there was no proper treatment of the garbage because of the existing corruption of the system. But anyway, it was a time of the turnover of lands of the old canal zone, and being a priority project, they assigned me a helicopter. And I remember very distinctly the day I took some very good maps the Americans have, canal zone maps, which show the military roads. And I was looking for a spot that had what's called a quarry, that it had hills around it where you could borrow dirt and dump
right,
it on.
Right.
And so almost on day one, when this colonel from the Fuerzas de Defensa took me over Chivo Road and other old American military roads where they use for training and for tanks, very heavy duty. I ran into this spot, just like the map say. They had the perfect conditions, landed. Then I went to see my friends at the Technological University and said, would you like to go with me and check again? And we all agreed that was the site. And that's how... we chose Cerro Patacón. Now, let me say, during all these months we were at it studying a future site, we hadn't given a name. We just called it the Garbage Project, but it had to be baptized, given a name. Normally, I tend to be very democratic in terms of allowing everybody to say their, and then do a summary, and then make a decision based on a más o menos a collective. So, okay, I say, we got to give a name to the new landfill of Panama City. And there are two hills, Patacón and Mocambo. Now, I think that we should name it Patacón because Patacón is one of the sacred plates of the Panamanian cuisine.
Absolutely.
We should name it Mocambo. Lo and behold, we took a vote, and they all decided to name it Patacón. I was very furious that day. So I started trying to understand the anthropology behind it. Well, turned out that there was this Dominican band that had been to Carnival in Panama, and the hit that year's Carnival hit was called Patacón Pisao. So because of that big merengue song, everybody chose to call it Patacón. I was so furious with my team, like, to this day.
You know what they say, Stanley, don't they? Bienvenidos a Panama. Stanley, we're just about out of time, but thank you for that. I mean, I really do hope, and I hope you get involved as well, because I think if Patacón has run its course, we really seriously need to rethink the way we go ahead. We just can't keep going now without recycling. And, you know, there are people, we have an expression in English, where there's muck, there's brass. In other words, where there's rubbish, it's somebody can make money out of it. And there are people around the world that specialize in doing this. They'll ship all the rare metals, they'll service it, they'll do it, and they'll make it into something that makes a bit of abundant money. And if people want to say, oh, what about employment? These people will employ a lot more people than are being employed now as well. And that's my piece. And look, Stanley, thank you very much for your thoughts on that. Thank you so very much. Talking, it's been really, really enjoyable and enlightening as well. We're going to put information on our website today for our listeners. You want to get hold of those books from Stanley. I know Amazon has got them. Also, Ombre de la Mancha, I think, has a couple. We're going to put information on our website, thebreakfastshow.com.pa. And Stanley, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And I hope we'll see you and hear you again soon.
Thank you for inviting me, and with pleasure.
Take care, Stanley. All the very best to you.
All right.
Keep up the good work. Thank you so much. And anybody who wants to write a book about Stanley Hector Moreno, that's your chance. Take care, Stanley, and thank you again. All the very best.
Bye bye.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production.
The Breakfast Show is brought to you thanks to Encuentro 24. You publish it, you'll sell it.
¿Qué tal, Javier? Ahí vi que estabas vendiendo tu carro.
Sí, mira que ya se vendió.
¡Wow! ¡Qué rápido! Yo te lo quería comprar.
Sí, se fue volando. Usé Encuentra 24. Ingresa ahí. Hay miles de carros que se publican diario y súper seguro para comprar o vender.
Encuentra 24, la plataforma digital más innovadora para buscar, comprar, rentar o vender lo que quieras. Encuentra 24. Si lo publicas, lo vendes.
It's Morning Radio, The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3 Cool FM from the heart of Panama City in English.
Where a wild-eyed misfit's office, a traffic island star.
Soul Carnival, that's Natalie Merchant there. Lovely track. Still to come, got plenty to pack in this morning. We're going to take another piece of music, then we'll check in with Ingrid for our everyday story of country folk. And then also, we've got a couple of tracks for you. Yasmin's been working away there in the background. A couple of tracks for you this day in music. We can stick with the ladies right now, though. This is Melissa Manchester. And don't cry out loud.
Baby cried the day the circus came to town, 'cause she didn't want parades just passing by her. So she painted on a smile and took up with some clown, while she danced without a net up on the wire. I know a lot about her, 'cause you see, baby is an awful lot like me. Don't cry out loud, just keep it inside. Learn how to hide your feelings. Remember, you almost had it all. Baby saw that when they pulled the big top down, they left behind her dreams among the litter. In a different kind of love she thought she found, there was nothing left but sawdust and some glitter. But baby can't be broken, 'cause you see, she had the finest teacher, that was me. I told her, don't cry out loud, just keep it inside.
Panama. Good morning, Jerry. Hey, yes, how you doing? The rain in Spain stays mainly on the plain. I don't know. We must be on the plain because it's a raining here again. Most of the night it's been raining, but what a sound. What beauty does it do? You know, people are blessed to have the rain. Too many people complain about it. I have to be thankful and grateful. It fills up our wonderful canal. It makes all my plants grow. It's green. It's beautiful. The sound is divine to go to sleep. It changes the temperature of everything. Ah, I like the rain in Spain. Stays mainly on the plain. Now, all right. So it has been a rainy day. I had planned to go for a little run, but instead I stay inside today and I will do, well, let's see. I think I will do the elliptical machine because I can't go outside. It's raining. Oh, I could go outside. It is raining. But it is stunning.
It's just amazing to me how everything can change from just a few days of rain. I mean, I water my plants when I, you know, during the dry season, and they look pretty good. But the rain, when it comes, I mean, everything is just sprouting 10 feet tall. It's amazing. I'm so happy for the rain. Don't be sad for the rain. I can't stand the rain against my window. Everything is about the rain. The glory and the beauty of the rain. Ah, it's so good out here. Ah, well, I did talk to Dr. Mauricio from the zoo, and he will be spaying and neutering my little kitty cats and Mamisita next week. I don't want to wait until Spay Panama. It's just, last time there was like 492 pets that were spayed. Imagine that. And it would be a long day. I'd like to get them done so I can volunteer for the Spay Panama. That's what I'm going to do. But it is just so beautiful, the rain. I hope you guys enjoy the rain there. I know it causes traffic problems, but I don't have to go anywhere. I'm going to just do elliptical machine go. Yes, and the kitty cats are going to get fed. They're getting their little kitty, you know, they're on kitten chow now. So if they're on kitten chow, that means they're 8 weeks old as of 2 days ago. So they're old enough to, one, be weaned, two, get neutered and spayed, and three, I got to start handling them so that they'll be not be so feral and I can get them adopted. Because I want to make sure these kids have good homes. There's four of them. If anybody's interested, let me know. All right. Stay safe. Be careful on the roads. And back at you in the studio.
Rain. Against my window. Sweet memory. I can't stand the rain against my window, bringing back sweet memories. I can't stand the rain against my window, 'cause you're not here with me, here in the pain. Stand the rain against my window, oh, oh, bringing back sweet memories. I can't stand the rain against my window, because she's not here with me.
Just get there.
West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home to the place. Teardrop in my eye, country road, take me home to the place.
Big thank you to Ingrid for our everyday story of country folk there. And the rain, well, rained everywhere, didn't it, last night? And talking of rain, Mary Lou loves the rain. She asked if we could play that one, John Denver and Take Me Home Country Road. And the version we played, by the way, of I Can't Stand the Rain was from Seal, which I thought was rather nice. Well, it's time to say a very good morning. Haven't got time to go down the corridor this morning. Good morning, yes.
Good morning.
How are we this morning? Did you have a lot of rain where you were last night?
If I what?
Did you have a lot of rain where you were last night?
Last night, no.
Or you just weren't awake? No, the thunder and lightning woke us up.
Yeah, we had a lot of thunders, but not a lot of rain.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of rain and a lot of thunder.
Oh, okay. Mm.
But it was nice. We had a breeze as well. Oh, lovely. Air conditioning. And so what were you up to yesterday? Because it was Monday, isn't it? I don't know why I keep feeling it's like Wednesday today. I wish.
Yeah, it feels weird today.
Yes, today's a weird day. Yes, like the weather. So, yeah. So what did you do with your exercise yesterday?
No, because last night I went to a premiere.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Yeah, that was a Mexican but U.S. movie.
Uh-huh.
It was a romantic comedy.
Mm-hmm. Was it funny?
Very nice, yes. Oh, we good. Love it. Yeah, it was a nice time there. For me, because I forgot the name of the movie.
Oh, is that
the
good?
The Book of Love.
Oh, The Book of Love.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
It's the name, yeah. That was nice.
Oh, good. So that was it. And today? Well, we're going out tonight, aren't we?
Oh, yes. Yeah. We are all together for a party.
Yeah. Well, we hope so. Mm-hmm. maybe no news tomorrow, you know. Depends what kind of condition I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. Yeah, we'll enjoy that, won't we?
Yes.
And you've been busy with a couple of days, a couple of Born on This Day in Music. Big one of those mornings this morning, like every morning. So what have we got?
Yes, the first one was Bob Dylan. He was born in 1941, and his real name was Robert Zimmerman, American singer, songwriter, author, and painter. Dylan has released over 40 albums since 1964 and was a major influence on the Beatles. His biggest hits are the 1965 US number 2 single, Like a Rolling Stone, the 1969 UK number 5 single, Lay, Lady, Lay, and his 1964 UK number 1 album, The Freewheeling.
Yeah, great artist, but I like that, wasn't it? He was a major influence on the Beatles. So he made a piece of music called Like a Rolling Stone. I think that's quite funny. Here he is, Bob Dylan. 22 before 10 o'clock.
Once upon a time you dressed so fine, threw the bump of dime in your prime. Then you, people call, say beware doll, you're bound to fall, you thought they were all kidding you. Everybody that was hanging out, now you don't talk so loud, now you don't seem so proud about having to be scrounging your next
listen, you got nothing to lose. You're invisible now, you got no secrets to conceal.
There we go. Yes, Bob Dylan, Like a Rolling Stone. That one brings back great memories to me, that one.
I love the harmonica.
Oh, yes, great, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because that was, I joined the Air Force in May mm-hmm. of 1965.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still in May, aren't we? So, yes, that's a number of years ago. Mm-hmm. And that was released in July of 1965. We used to play that a lot on the jukebox.
Oh, nice.
For that one, yeah. So to all the guys, 303rd Entry, Arias Cosford this morning, if they're listening, which I doubt. we'll soon be coming up for our 60th anniversary.
Oh, wow.
That'll be in, in 2025,
mm-hmm.
if I'm still around. So anyway, yeah, great track. Love that. Brought back some good memories. Mm-hmm. What's your next one, yes?
Okay, next one is Patti LaBelle.
Ah.
She was born in 1944, American singer, songwriter, who scored the 1975 U.S. number 1 and U.K. number 16 single, Lady Marmalade, with LaBelle, and the 1986 U.S. number 1 and U.K. number 2 single with Michael McDonald, On My Own. LaBelle became the first African-American vocal group to land the cover of Rolling Stone magazine.
Oh, so we've got links, haven't we? Mm-hmm. Because we were just singing Like a Rolling
yes.
Stone. Now
uh-huh.
they're on the Rolling Stone magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob Dylan made that because he was an influence on the Beatles. Isn't it? Lady Marmalade.
Yeah.
I think nothing worse than losing your yaya, is there? Oh, we know who's got it. Patti LaBelle.
Yes, great voices.
Ah, yes. So anyway, happy birthday to Patti LaBelle and to Bob Dylan today.
Mm-hmm.
So, what are you off to today? Well, during the day, what are you going to be doing?
Oh, just picking up Ian at the school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
You have to pick Ian up at school?
Mm-hmm.
He can't walk home?
Yeah, but today he's going to practice volleyball. So he's going to be very tired too.
Oh, poor boy. Oh, dear. He's a teenager.
I know.
You don't get tired when you're a teenager.
Oh, he does.
Oh, he does?
Mm-hmm. And he always has a pain on one of his legs. I don't know why.
Yeah, that's always a good excuse.
Mm-hmm.
He better stick to the saxophone.
Yes.
Is he out of breath when he finishes? Oh, great. And because he's coming with us tonight, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah,
good. Exactly. I look forward to seeing him tonight. Mm-hmm. Is he bringing his saxophone?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh, excellent. All right, yes, we'll see you later. All right,
yes.
Party time. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, there may not be any news tomorrow. Everybody's saying, yay, no news, yay, yippee-yay. We'll see what I can do and what I can't do.
Yeah.
All right, yes, have a great day.
Okay, thank
you.
Oh,
by the way, I've got a bit of a link. Because you mentioned Patti LaBelle,
mm-hmm.
and you mentioned she did a song on my own with Michael
yes.
Bolton. Well,
mm-hmm.
I don't have that song,
mm-hmm.
but it just so happened I had on my playlist for today, Michael Bolton,
oh, nice.
Soul Provider.
Stick to my girl. Believe me when I tell you.
There we go, Mr. Michael Bolton taking us out of this morning's breakfast show. Soul Provider, title track off the album of the same name. Actually, here's a little thing to finish the program on. This is from my Senior Moments calendar. It's taken from an actual court transcript between the attorney and a witness. The attorney says, "What happened then?" "Well, he told me, he says, I have to kill you, because you can identify me." "And did he kill you?" "No." That's it. That brings us to the end. I'm glad you're happy to stay. Oh, thank God for that. End of this morning's program. Big thanks going out to this morning to our special guest in the 8 o'clock hour today, Dr. Stanley Heckerdon-Moreno. Wonderful talking with Stanley. He's got so many tales to tell. And we're going to put some links. We're talking about three of his books this morning. We're going to have links to those on our website today. They are available on Amazon and also Hombre de la Mancha. So we'll put some info about Stanley on there and some links. And also a big thank you to our intrepid outdoor reporter, Ringrid, for our everyday story of country folk. Got that in the last hour today. Also to Yasmin for Born on This Day in Music, for all our production work here in the studio, for all our social media work, etc., etc. My co-producer, Neil Danby, and he gets a lot of the background information for us, and, of course, to the boys and girls of Group Agrada, who keep us up and running. And to you, our listeners, advertisers, and sponsors, thank you so very much for being with us here on The Breakfast Show. Tomorrow's WTW. Be back with you, 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. We've got American Embassy coming in, all being well. They'll be talking to us about visas, which will be really good fun, because I tried to apply for one. Well, I did apply for one. So that's that. And also, the British Chamber of Commerce, they've got a rugby coming up, so they're going to be talking to us about that as well. It's all happening, you know. So that's tomorrow morning here on The Breakfast Show. We're starting at 6 o'clock, so I'll be talking to you then. And please remember, whatever it is you're going to be doing between now and then, do it carefully. What do I want to be doing? I want to be talking to you, not talking about you. From me, Jerry D. Till then, ta-da. You have been listening to The Breakfast Show, a Panama Broadcasting Corporation and Cool FM production. Presented by Jerry D, produced by Yasmin Quiroz, co-producer Neil Danby. The Breakfast Show was brought to you thanks to Imprenta 24. You publish it, you'll sell it.